For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday morning service on July the 7th, 1988. It's tape number 14 of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher of the morning.
You may be seated.
You may want to stand up in just a minute. Oh, boy. Y'all ready? First things first, okay? I got a little something. What is it? Extra? Something extra. All you Weight Watchers, let's get something extra written on the icebox wall today. We're going to do that, too. Yesterday, I mentioned to Glenn about the heart of church really need to be defined so that we not be deceived. And Blanche and I went out and... All right, we picked out last night, okay? We went to dinner after service. We had breakfast, so. And we were sitting there, and the Lord reminded me. He said, those standing on middle ground, Christians that don't know they really are, they haven't crossed over the Jordan. They crossed over to visit. There's a stone structure on the other side. They visit God, but they live on the other side of the Jordan. He says, talk about middle ground. I said, okay, God. I said, you tell Glenn what's going on. So I got up this morning and fully assured that we were going to talk about those Christians on middle ground this morning. And I put my foot on the floor, and God said, Jacob at Jabbok. Okay, God, I don't care. You know, I've already studied to show myself prudent. I know what you're talking about, so we'll do that. Come downstairs, and Glenn says, ha, Harlot Church. And I'm going, oh, no, we've been through that. We're going on to middle ground. We passed that. We're now into Jacob at Jabbok. He goes, ooh. So I said, okay, we'll pray. So I start praying from here back to his office to get the Strong's to look up a word. And on the way back there, God just took an accordion, thank you, and went, whoo. He says, put them all together. I said, okay. No lunch, no worry, okay? So God just compressed three into one.
Amen.
We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to move this morning. But first of all, we're going to break something off of some people. And all of those who are standing in the midst of a situation, and the world is over here dictating now, to get out of that, you'll want to do this. And well-meaning Christian friends and even some church council will say, well, now you want to do this. And you're standing in the middle going, oh, God, standing in confusion. And that's not from God. And you don't know what to do. I got news for you. I know who can tell you what to do. And it's not me, and it's not them, and it's not somebody else. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's why he brought you to this point. We're strictly to equip the saints for the edifying of the body. Jesus Christ is the head. No one needs to get your head and screw it on for you. Jesus Christ is your head, okay? And there's no confusion in that head. He knows what he's talking about. So anybody that wants to be refreshed, and I'm going to ask God for a special period of grace and mercy for you to cover you and let you just stand in the midst of the storm and have peace. Have peace about it. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it is, how ugly it is. If it's a divorce or if it's contention with your family members or if it's a struggle within you that I want to know the truth. Whatever it is, if the enemy... We'll try to bring confusion to the subject. Don't let him do it. Let God speak to you. Anybody that wants that refreshing, just stand up. Let's just ask the Lord to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk real fast and give you something extra for all of us Weight Watchers. When my foot hit the floor this morning and God was saying, Jacob, Jabbok, Jacob, Jabbok, it reminded me from the word go, from the very word spoken. Praise God for Linda. She just set a fire the other day when she spoke. It purged off some things. It broke the mold. It tore up the bulletin. It took down the marquee. Okay? Nothing going to be the same no more. We won't come back 6 weeks the same as we are right now. Because we're going on with God. Okay? This is no longer going to be just a dump station for, you know, rest stop. This is going to be a refreshing stop where you come to get refreshed and go on. And I knew Saturday night when the service began, I knew God was doing a new thing. And I knew he was doing it in us. He brought us to a point where we could see ourselves. Praise God for Blanche. and the message he's been bringing about self.
Yes.
Praise God for confirming his word and opening up to us. You know the story of Jacob. I don't have to tell you how he took the birthright. Actually, he bought it from his brother Esau. He didn't really swindle him. He kind of cheated a little bit. His mother, the Jezebel spirit, one of the many types of the harlot church, finagled all of that. We know that. We know the story of Jacob and Esau and the birthright, and that he moved off and God prospered him, double portion. But guess what? Esau, meaning flesh, was still there. Okay? Jacob, sooner or later, was going to have to face up to what he had done. Because you know what? After he got two wives and all those children, all those donkeys and all those camels, and if you want to read that story, and I pray that you do, because I'm not going to give it all to you word for word this morning, but in Genesis around chapter 32 and 33, you can read the meeting of Esau and Jacob at the river Jabbok. And God will give you some understanding on it. Ask the Holy Spirit, y'all. We're moving in the time when you have that no men teach you. God's going to teach you. And then you're going to come together and you're going to edify the body. You'll be the gospel of Jesus Christ. You won't have to survive just barely hanging on from week to week, listening to some other man preach. There'll be preachers and teachers, but they'll be you. You'll be going next door to your neighbor. Don't go to China if you won't go next door. Okay? And God's not going to sign you anywhere unless you take care of your household first. That's for every one of us. But anyway, Jacob comes back to the land of his father. He's coming back to his birthright. He's coming back to where he was supposed to be. And God sent him out in the wilderness to live. And he's coming back prospered, wealthy, filled with the Holy Ghost, all kinds of gifts. I'm trying to bring up to where we live. We're walking in all of it. We got it. We've been prospered. We've been saved, quote. I'm going to scratch that word before we leave here this week. There ain't nobody saved till you're saved at the end. He's walking in salvation. He's got it all. But who's waiting at the other end of the road? Flesh. The man's going to face him face to face. He's got his wives and his donkeys and all of his goods and all of his children. And he's walking down the road and he knows that Esau's coming. Now, he knows that Esau's coming after him because he cheated him, didn't he? Flesh man's going to rise up. And every one of us, not one of us is going to get away without meeting flesh man face to face. Every person in this room is going to cross over Jabbok and wrestle with God all night because flesh is coming down the road. That's what this conference has turned into. We've tried everything else. We've tried to maintain deliverance. But there's a balance of deliverance that's called the flesh man. A son of God will not be illegitimate. And the flesh man is illegitimate. He's firstborn after the flesh. So here's the story. Jacob's coming with all that he's got. Everything his life is built up. Everything that God has revealed to him. Everything that God has blessed him with. Things are going fine. We finally got established in a church. We got us a new car. We got us a couple of cute kids and a dog and a wife and the house and the whole bit. Everything's going along fine. But what right? We even been up here and got deliverance. Wow. We got it all now, God. We talk in tongues. We can pray in the Spirit. We got deliverance. We're spitting up demons. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying there's more. There's a maintenance that comes, a balance.
Yes, right.
This is called the balance weekend, if you want to call it that. We're adding butter and honey together.
Yes.
And thank the Lord last night for Tommy Cook when he said what he said about that. Balance. Being in balance with God. You've got to go in balanced. Okay? But anyway, Jacob shows up at Jabbok. He's ready to cross over, right? No, he's running the other way. He don't want to go over the river, does he? He doesn't want to face flesh. But he sends his wife out. He divides it. He gets very cunning. Okay, I'll send all the animals and I'll send gifts. And we try to bribe the flesh, don't we? We cheat here and there. Little things. You know. Okay. Nobody will know about this. I'll run away. I got a little secret sin. Okay. I'm holy now. I'm going to church. I feel good. Why? Because the flesh is satisfied. Some of us even use church to satisfy the flesh, don't we? We like to confess. I know people that will come to me and confess over and over and over that feel so good to confess. And I said, I'm not the Pope and there ain't no little room here for you to come in anymore. You're not going to use me for a dump station to cleanse your conscience. And I got onto my group about trying to send money all over the world to do this and do that. And I said, that's conscience money. That ain't giving. You're giving money so you don't have to go next door. So you can't buy your way out. That's flesh. And money given in the flesh is what? Corrupt. Okay? Here's the story. Jacob gets over there and he knows Esau's coming. He's already sent gifts out to him and they haven't come back. He goes, uh-oh, what's happening here? I'm doing all the right things. God, let me hold this together. I know I got it now. I've got the Holy Spirit. I go to church. I'm trying to be good. I know I slip, but I mean, everybody slips, don't they? Don't they? Yeah, yeah. See, we bow alibi each other. You slip, don't you? Oh, yes, I still sin, brother. Well, good. I can sin too. Okay, we're in balance here, you know. If no man's perfect yet, praise God, I don't have to be perfect either. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we go through life making excuses to who? Self. Self agrees with us. Well, I'm in agreement with myself. Hallelujah. My body and my soul and myself are in, they ain't either. Because the spirit ain't going to agree with an ounce of it. You're going to have this little pit in the middle of your stomach. And it's always there. Never leave. And it's a knowing. Somebody said last night, knowing. It's in the knower. Somebody, yeah, you said it. You'll know when you know her. That's a good word, and you know her. You know, if they don't know what that is, he'll know. It's your knower. We got to know her. And you know. You will know when it's God and when it's truth and when the word gives life and when it don't.
Amen.
And if the seed don't give life, it's not meant to. Spit it out. It ain't the seed that gives life. If it breeds death and destruction, spit it out. It ain't for your tummy. It's for somebody else's hole in the ground. Got to get back to Jabbok with Jacob before we get to the sermon about the heart of church. We'll get there in just a minute. But I got to get him across Jabbok at least once. See that little waterway down there? For some of us this week, that's going to be Jabbok. And by the end of the week, I hope it's the Jordan. I hope we've gone through and come back on the other side. We may have to physically walk through that thing, go up on Glenn's new front porch, sit down, ask God to forgive us, then come back, wrestle all night, come back and come back through the Jordan and really bury the old dead man flesh in that water out there. Everybody goes, well, I don't need to be baptized. I was dunked once, and that's enough. I'm cleansed. Oh, yeah. Was your heart circumcised while you were in the water? Did you come out changed? Are you a new creation? Don't be afraid, embarrassed. I can't get baptized. I've already been baptized. Guess what? I have too. Twice. And if God says do it again, I'll do it again. If he doesn't jump in seven times, I'll do it seven times. I don't care. It's just a bunch of water. It's what's changing on the inside of me. And I'm not going to lie to me. If something ain't changing, I'm going to say it ain't changing. Okay? The sons of God are just like the prodigal sons. But I'll tell you one thing. God ain't going down to the pig pen and get them out. The real sons of God are going to crawl out of the pig slop and start walking home. He wants sons that show up at the door. And what's he going to do when you get there? Is he going to get on you? No. There is therefore now no condemnation for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus. A lot of us haven't understood to get into Christ and live in Christ and be in Christ every day of our life. He wants to put a robe on you, put a ring on you, may give you a crown, kill the fatted calf. You're going to a wedding supper. You're going to be adopted back into the family. But you've got to get out of the pig pen yourself and decide, I'm tired of this slop. There's meat on my daddy's table and I'm going home. You parents that have kids that are going astray, man, I've laid night and cried and asked God, God, you better do it. I can't. Would you like to be raising three teenage boys right now in a metropolitan city like Houston, Texas, with all that it has to offer? The school system that it has to offer? Our Christian schools are worse than our public schools right now. All they have are the rejects, the dope heads, the ones that can't pass in public school. And I'm not down on Christian schools either. I'm just trying to talk reality. The Christian schools there are full of kids that rejected from public school. I checked them out. I went over there. I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, are you going to trust me? I said, yes, sir. Every morning at my office, our elders come together at 6:30 until about 8 o'clock, and we pray every morning. And we place angels above Deer Park High School and Deer Junior High and all the schools in that area. We come against every perverse spirit that would teach in those schools during the day. We ask the Lord to anoint that place, to put a covering over our children by name. And when they were going through finals, we prayed all day long to keep the angels over them all day long. We haven't learned to intercede. He's been saying it all week. Intercessors are not in the flesh. They're in the spirit. And they do it all the time. When there's a need, it's already being met because somebody's interceding. Yeah. Not because, okay, at 7 o'clock in the morning at such and such address, the interceders will gather. Come on now. Let's do it real. Let's be real intercessors. Let's walk in intercession. Just like walking in salvation. There ain't nobody saved until you walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul said. Right? We aren't afraid. Why? We've been lied to. You're saved. Now, here's your bus ticket. Sit down, take a seat, pay your tithe, be nice, go beat the dog, hug your wife, and look presentable. I don't care if you smoke ass, that's all right. But sit there, do all that we tell you to do. When the bus pulls up, we'll put you on. You'll be bound for glory with a little mm-mm. You know, I wish I had that kind of bait when I went flounder fishing. But I don't. But anyway, we're going to that. We'll be there in a minute. We're going to Jabbok. I got to get him across Jabbok and back. Okay, so when all else fails, when you have done all that you know how to do, when you have been to this seminar and you have believed, I can believe for a Cadillac. Why believe for a Chevy if you can believe for a Cadillac? I have been the name and claim it. I've been the blab and grab it. I've been the confess and profess and confess and all that garbage. I've been to deliverance. I've got it. I'm ready. And you rise up and God hits you in the face with the reality. And where's flesh? He's still there.
Amen.
We've been hearing about flesh. This is it. This is Jabbok. We're facing it now. We come head to head with flesh. And he ain't pretty. Because he's us. And he can't be cast out. Because he's us. But guess what? The first thing Christ said to those guys when he left, I'm leaving you to the keys of the kingdom, and that's binding and loosening, and you bind up that flesh and deny him. Period. And unless he's bound, you can't pick up no cross, and you can't walk. Because if you do, you're walking in the flesh. You're Holy Ghosting in the flesh. And flesh breeds corruption. You get wormy. That's not condemnation. I break that off everybody. This is for edification of the body. It's because we haven't had ears to hear and eyes to see. Because flesh sits in the pew and wants to be patted. Don't patty cake with the devil and don't dance with demons anymore. For yourself and when you pray for others. Somebody comes and says, you got a problem, say, you sure do. And you take authority over it. I did that. I already did that. I wore myself out and I told y'all for 6 hours dancing with demons up, doom, 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 back and forth. It'll come out eventually. The devil knows a Cotton Eye Joe, and man, you just dancing his dance when you dance with demons. I got news for you. Lord, I will finish Jabbok in just a minute. Okay, we know that Jacob got down to it. He even divided his family. Lord, if Esau kills my family, I'll send Rachel over here and Leah over here. We got them all now. Okay, I'll divide every, you know, we go through this. We scheme. We plan. We figure it out. Okay, God. CDs over here. Tribulation, I'll have gold and silver in this bag. Let's see. Okay, we're walking around balanced, aren't we? We ain't balanced. You know, okay, God, I got it. And all of a sudden, right here is flesh. Oh, yeah? Now, what are you going to do about flesh? It's like coming in out of the hen house. I used to walk out with eggs, you know, for my grandmama, going back to the house. And guess who fights you before you get to the house? Usually that old ugly pig that doesn't like you and that little red rooster. That rooster knew me. He had my name. But more, he knew I was scared of him. Because he used to get in the toilet and hide. Hey, I can prove it. I've got a little scar back here that nobody has seen. But my wife, there's a little scar right back here. And I learned. He was meaner than I was. Oh, okay, Lord. Boy, if my wife, I know she'd already be squirming. And where's your tie? Oh, where's your image? I left it somewhere. Hallelujah, Lord. Jacob and Jabbok. Let's get on with that. Jacob's got it all figured out. He's ready to go. And Esau's coming down the road. And when y'all were driving up here to Arkansas and you're pulling the parking lot out there, who was waiting? Flesh. So you're going to deal with me this time. One of us is going to win. Nobody determines that but you. We can do a war dance around you. We can throw a gallon of oil on you. We can give you two rows of bounties and a big bag. And if your heart ain't willing, ain't a thing going to happen but a whole lot of show. Okay? You got to want it. I got a wanter this morning. I mean, I really won't. I won't. Okay? I want peace in here. When you got peace, man, ain't nothing going to blow you away. I got news for you. That storm that's coming across this land is going to blow and blow and blow and burn and purge, and those that can stand will, and those that can't won't, and they'll be refined in the refiner's fire. I'll bring through 1/3, right? I know it's in there. We're going to get to that in a minute. Blanche is gone, and I'm going to talk about those that go off duty on the Sabbath. I'm going to make her buy a tape. She's been wanting to hear it all week. Her hubby can tell her all about it. Those that are going off duty on the Sabbath and those that come on duty on the Sabbath. We're going to talk about that in a minute, too. I'm sure glad there's liberty up here. I can talk to y'all like I talk to my kids. And I called my little fellowship last night, and we meet in a great big old warehouse thing full of phones. And everybody got on the phone. Just a whole bunch of them. Every phone in the house. There's about 30 phones out there, man. And I heard all this, bat, where you coming? Oh, when you coming home, bat? Yeah, this class. Whoa. Shut up. Quit crying. Bat. I said, I understand the apostolic ministry. I understand eldership. I understand the rule of the house. I understand how God meant for the church to function. And if one man leaves, the thing don't fall apart. Because if it does, everybody was looking at one man.
Right.
I've been teaching those folks for 5 years down there. They know more than I know if they've been listening. Let them teach. That's what I told them. We got two lady elders. Heaven forbid. We have two lady elders. Well, I got news for you. Those two lady elders are more dedicated than 10 men.
Amen.
I could find. And I didn't anoint them and they became elders. They were doing the job of an elder, and then they were elders on paper. I don't care. If God don't like it, he'll tear up the paper. Well, he needs a paper anyway. I don't care. Y'all recognize folks for what they're doing. Not for some title you give to them. You can say some fancy words over and put them on their forehead. It don't help.
Right.
They're either doing the job already. You'll be recognized for what you're doing. Don't anybody try to make a place for yourself. I have more friends that are struggling to get in these little ministries, and they'll mow the grass and clean the toilets and bow and scrape to some little pastor somewhere. I want to be accepted. I just got to be a part. It's a no-win battle. I got news for you. The Word of God will make a place for you. If the Word's in you, God will send those that need to hear. You don't got to make it. I don't have a schedule. I ain't even got a watch. I stopped wearing a watch a long time ago. Because I used to watch that watch. And I got news for you. I can't even see that clock. That's worse. I still can't see it. It don't matter, okay? My wife usually goes like this, you know. I said, okay, we'll slow down now. We hadn't got off Jabbok. We're going to do it right now. I'm going to get off Jabbok. Okay, y'all know what happened to Jabbok. Jacob finally gave up. He had sent everybody ahead. He saw Esau coming. He went across that river. He got down and cried and prayed. See, y'all, we're Jabbok. Everything's been stripped away now. We no more pretending. No more, it's a demon. Would you get this thing out of me? Uh-uh, it's flesh. Oh, don't tell me that. I'd rather have it pulled out. Uh-uh. Guess what? The surgeon here, the holy surgeon this morning, your great physician, everybody knows, doc can tell you, if the body's sick, sometimes it requires surgery. God may have to cut something off of you. I'd much rather let it rot off or something, you know, slowly. Oh, God. Remove it quick, please, Lord. If I got cancer, cut it off or heal it. Do something, God, quick. That's what this is, y'all. This is surgery. And I'm sure glad everybody's been NPO since last night. There's nothing in there, okay? Hallelujah. So Jacob's down there on the ground, wrestling with that angel. He said, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. And what does that angel say to him? In Genesis 32, chapter, verse 27, you've been wrestling with God. God, get me out of this. God, deliver me from this. And he's waiting for you to realize it ain't deliverance you need. It's denying the flesh that you need. Get me out of this. Get me out of this. Here comes Esau. Here comes the flesh man. Protect me. Uh-uh. Face him. I'm going to show you what happens in just a minute. So he said to him, what is your name? The angel of the Lord is talking to Jacob. God's been saying to everybody in here this morning, what's your name? Since Saturday night. And when he says, what's your name, he wants to know, what's your character? What's your personality? What do you really like? You know, when God asks somebody their name, names mean a lot. When you go into Hebrew and study the Old Testament, the name revealed the character of the person. It wasn't just a name. There's a lot hidden in a name. And the angel said, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And we know what Jacob means. Supplanter, heel grabber, liar, cheater, dominated by Jezebel's spirit, controlled by the harlot church. And when he confessed all of that, verse 28 said, and he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall no longer have the old flesh nature. You shall no longer be a supplanter. You shall no longer cheat and lie and scheme and plan and fear and dread and doubt and have unforgiveness in your heart. I'm changing your name. You're going to get a little white stone with a new name written on it that no man knows but you. That means God's giving you a new divine nature, His nature, and nobody can buy it. God gives it to you. All you got to do is ask. But you got to be willing to bury the old man. And if you try to put a title on this, I don't know. Old man dead, new man alive. Name change. Because when God changes your name, He changes your character. He changes your desire. He changes your habits. He changes you. But you've got to submit to Him. We think we have, but we haven't. We haven't denied the flesh. We want to keep the flesh. Remember, liberty in the flesh is not an occasion for the flesh. It's liberty in Christ Jesus. Remember? Remember in Galatians we read the other night? Don't use this liberty as an opportunity for your flesh. Live in the Spirit. This liberty is to live in the Spirit, not operate the flesh. Don't get slain in the Spirit and feel real holy and moly and go outside and keep on going the way you were. Don't let Satan knock you down on the floor to keep you from getting blessed or cleansed or whatever you needed. Stand your ground. Stand up. Wrestle with God. Okay, God, any more to confess? Show me me. Let me see me the way you see me. I'm not afraid. I know I'm ugly. Satan tells us every day, you ugly. I know it. I'm ugly. Uh-huh. Satan lies to you every day and we take it. We believe you. There is a spirit of ugly. You see him in our young people right now. Old clothes, black makeup, spiked hairdos. Satan is trying to manifest his sons just like God is trying to manifest his sons. So speak the truth and tell them what it really is. But Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. You have passed over. You have gone behind the veil. And I'm changing your name and your character. He raised up out of that water, came up out of the Jabbok, just like the prodigal son got up out of the pig pen, took off down the road, not knowing what daddy would say when he got home. But he had to reach the point, like I told you the other day, it don't matter. When you can reach the point and say, it doesn't matter, I don't care. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We do care. But it doesn't matter. When Satan comes to you and lies to you, say, I don't care what you say, Satan. When Satan says he's going to kill my son, spinal meningitis, he's going to come, I said, it doesn't matter. And I meant it. He belongs to God. And God ain't ready for him, so you shut up. And he did. You're going to be tested. If you haven't been chased, then what? You're illegitimate. We're trying to get rid of our illegitimacy. We've all been born into iniquity. I used to understand that. It said, in sin, iniquity your mother conceived you. Oh, that's not nice, God. But he's just talking about your old flesh, man. We've all been in the flesh. But we've got to put it off, don't we? God changed Jacob to Israel. God took the prodigal son out of the pig pen and sent him home. And both of them required a walk, not a talk. Probably didn't say a word going down that road home to daddy. Jacob probably didn't say a word to his family as he passed right on by. See, he was going to hide behind his family. He hid behind everything. Sent the new car to God. Sent the job. Well, God, I'll give my job to you, God. I'll give my car to you. Whatever it is, I'll keep pushing those idols, God. Okay, God, I'll satisfy God. Just keep pushing it and keep, well, you're my family. Okay, God, I'll leave my family. And God's the whole time wanting you to deal with something else. He's trying to get you down to where you live. He wants to deal with your flesh. And you're offering all these other strange idols to him. Come on. Jacob came up out of Jabbok, walked up that road, met his brother Esau, and his brother Esau grabbed him around the neck and hugged him. You see, God's not wanting to destroy flesh. He's wanting for you to bring it under submission. The Holy Spirit told one time, he said, I didn't come to take away the flesh. I come to make you one, body, soul, and spirit, complete, so that you might serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy everything. God don't want you dead, floating off in space somewhere with a spiritual body. Going, da, 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 da. Everybody wants to walk in the heavenlies with your spiritual body. God wants you down here walking and talking around His people and helping each other. He's got enough space cadets that have already taken off somewhere. I got a few in my church. They buzz in and buzz out, and I've heard from God. Oh, that's good. How's your life going? Oh, well, you know, my husband still don't like me. I've heard from God. Okay. You cleaned your house, lady? No, I was hearing from God. I had to lay before Him all that. Oh, okay, okay. Did you feed your kids? Well, they can go to McDonald's. Our flesh, man, just talks and talks and talks for us, doesn't he? He reveals Himself to us all the time. Let's go over Jabbok, y'all. Let's admit our nature. Let's not hide Him anymore. Say, yeah, God. Yep, I'm that. I did that. Yeah, I did that. I know that, God. I did that. I did that. I'm hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I did that. Okay. Get it all off. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? As soon as you walk over here, Satan's going to go, aha, there's a button left. He starts pushing on you again. Unconfessed sin festers, doesn't it? Like an open wound, just oozes. Okay? End of that sermon. That's something extra. Okay? That's Jabbok. Anybody want to go down the hill with me, we'll go down the hill and we'll go through Jabbok and we'll bury that old dead man in that water out there. And when you come up, you'll be coming out of the Jordan. Okay? Confess it all. Let's move on to the harlot church so we can identify her. In Revelation chapter 17, hope you don't mind if we go backwards in the Bible. We're not reading the word backwards. That's unholy. But we're going to study backwards because I like to go to see what was and then find out why it was like it was. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. And right above, I better read 3 so I can throw something extra in there. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blaspheming, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And I discovered, even studying again this morning, that I already had a sermon for that. I've got a sermon for those 7 heads and the blaspheming. I know what they are. They're found in the 7 letters of the 7 churches. The 7 abominations, each one that you got to overcome. We may study that later in the week. There are 7 letters to 7 churches, and they were to be mailed to the 7 churches of Asia Minor, and they were also to be recorded for the 7 church ages, and they were also to be read out loud to you in this generation and say, oh, these are the 7 types. These are the 7 blasphemings of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that you must be an overcomer. One by one, take them and read them. 7 letters. Put your name at the head and read what God said in that letter. I have this against you. Overcome that abomination in God's eyes. Read on. Get down to the bottom and read what it says in the bottom of that letter about. And but to you who come out of this church, to you who come out of this mindset, I'm going to make you an overcomer and you're going to get this. And then he signs the letter. You're going to read those letters with understanding. The book of Revelations is not a mystery. It's a revealing of Christ Jesus and who he really is and who we're going to be in him. There are no mysteries hidden if you're in Christ. Because he has all the knowledge. All the Godhead is in there. He'll understand. If you get in Christ, he's going to begin to pour it on you and you won't be able to, like, get a drink out of a fire hydrant. He's got more than you can take. I can tell you that right now. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination on the earth. This church system, this woman is extremely wealthy, extremely powerful. She has all the stone structures. She has all the temples in the land. She has all the gold and silver. She has all the fine linens. She has all the big numbers right now. She's ringing the pretty bells. She's singing the pretty songs. She's dancing. She's having a fine time. She's controlling a lot of small countries right now. And it's not one church. It's not just the Catholic Church. It's not just the Baptist. It's not a Pentecostal. It's not a name. It's a mindset. It's in the heart of the folks who go to that place. Don't try to pin one church onto that lady, because that lady is everywhere. Her seed was planted in the Garden of Eden, and it is manifested in Revelation when Jesus Christ said, here's a picture of her. Don't be like her. Don't be in the image that she is. Whose image are you? I'm in the image of the living God. I'm not of that. Begin to strip away that which is not from God and does not look like God. And it's as clear as the nose on your face, and you and I both know it, if we don't deceive ourselves. I told y'all the other day, most of us don't need Satan. We're so hard on ourselves and deceiving ourselves. Satan's off taking care of somebody else that's struggling. When you start struggling and realizing who you are, Satan's going to buffet you. But everybody knows what happens to a buffeted floor. It begins to shine. Doesn't it, ladies? Hallelujah. Reading backwards, let's go over. Daniel described the same lady in chapter 11. The same mindset. The same image. The same convictions. The same doctrine. The same things that were revealed in Revelations, Daniel talked about. He described this lady down here in verse 37 and 38 of chapter 11. He talked about her, about her system, about what she revered and what she didn't, and what she feared and what she didn't, what she worshipped and what she didn't, how she regarded herself. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify who? Himself. This is a self-worship system. And it can be sitting in this room right here. It's not in a particular building down the road in a church. It is self-worship. The harlot church can be in us. Don't be deceived. It'll rob you of your sonship. I can guarantee it. It's in the Word. The Word guarantees it. I don't. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses. A lot of fortresses need to be pulled down in our lives. And a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Let's get pretty carpet, pleasing to the eye. Not red, that's harsh. Let's get baby blue. Let's get mauve or pink. Got to have lots of air conditioning, pretty stained glass windows. When people come in, they feel holy. And there's even now, they even teach now, they invited me to go up to Dallas to that big old Baptist seminar thing. They teach you how to paint your nursery, what color, and where the doorknob should be, and the little things on the wall, how high up they should be so the kids can see them. And they have got it so programmed, it's beautiful. But it ain't God. It's man's building. They tell you, if you get you a big parking lot, with a circle drive so nobody can block the front door, and you get a certain number of parking places and you stripe it just right and you give them a free access in, plenty of entrance in your church now, and plenty of them out, and you make it all easy on them, you'll attract those people that are driving down the road Sundays. Now, that's a good parking place. Let's go. This place looks pretty. They got little shrubs out here. This is so nice. They got a big gym that wall and get the kids busy and I won't have to raise them. We'll let the church raise them. We've come to this church to see, make sure that you have a good youth program and a good young people's education. Our children need to be taught. Mom and Daddy, you to teach your children. You see how we've been perverted and don't even know it and enjoy it a lot of times. I desired those things. I used to get so burnt out going to being youth minister and music director and things at churches that I finally ended up going to a great big church so I could hide a while. Sit on the soft pew, feel the air conditioning, you know, sing the pretty songs, feel blessed and go home and not have to, any obligation. Mm-mm. God said it's going to be easier on those of Sodom and Gomorrah than those that's sitting on the pew like that when you know better. And if you're within the range of my voice, and I forgot this thing's been taped, boy, you ought to take off some of that stuff I said about particular churches. Oh, especially that one in my own hometown. Please don't anybody buy that tape and mail it down there. I did speak the truth, but I'd have to be... Well, never mind. That's all right. God will take care of that. okay, God. He's going to deal with us all. Let's keep going. Jeremiah described something we really do need to hear, y'all. Jeremiah chapter 51. Daniel described the church that was self-righteous and self-worship. Please remember that. Being self-righteous and self-worship. I even just... counseled a lady. She was going to come up here and I was going to have her give her testimony. And I'll go ahead and put it on tape. She doesn't mind me sharing this with her. She's a member of a Baptist church. She's a youth director. Very large church in my area. Friend of mine for years. She had problems in her past like all the rest of us. Raisins in our life that we need to get over. Our raisins. And the church sent her to, quote, a Christian counselor. And in 3 years, $5,000 later, she was sitting on my sofa in my office on the verge of just absolutely cracking up. She said, I don't know what it is. I said, I do. I see the Holy Spirit sitting right beside you. I'm going to tell you what he says. And in less than 30 minutes, I know it took not that long, the Holy Spirit totally unraveled all of those years of counseling. She had had a reoccurring nightmare that she was being, and I know she doesn't mind me sharing this because she'll testify if she ever shows up, of being molested when she was a child by a group of people standing around her with no faces. And when she began to talk, this guy that she had gone to counseling for 3 years had interpreted that dream and decided, yes, she was molested, and yes, it was her father, and yes, she had the right to hate him. That's going on. Our children, our wives, our husbands are being told, you have the right to be angry. You have the right to hate. It's a lie. A person who is in Christ and he's in them, they have lost themselves and you do not suffer from those emotions anymore. You don't have the right to get angry. You don't have the right to dominate someone else. You don't have the right to flare up once in a while. And you can't say, oh, sister so-and-so, she's just like that. Nuh-uh. Oh, sister so-and-so needs to get in Christ. There is no room for our personalities and our little quirks and our little things that we want to bring into the church. God's temple is pure, and no unholy thing is going to defile it. The Word says, if they would learn to take out the precious from among the vile, God's trying to give us some precious things, but He's not going to hand you nothing if you're standing in one holding the vial, if you still walk in envy and strife, jealousy. Because if you have those things, every evil thing shows up, doesn't it? Confusion. Every evil thing can come in and just ravage what God's trying to do in you. This woman had been convinced her father had molested her. You know what the Holy Spirit told her while she was sitting there? I looked at her hand. She has a deformed hand. I says, Hallie. I'll use her name. Well, she knows who she is. I said, do you look at... You know, the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. You go, whoa, wow, God. Wow. I say, Hallie, how many surgeries have you had on your hand? 21. When did they start? Such and such age? Last year. Oh, wow, 21. And with my medical background, I begin to realize a small child in surgery, what do you do first? You tie their hands down. She described being tied down on a bed, surrounded by people without a face, wearing trench coats. Smocks, mask, surgery, scared, fear, being molested and hurt. And when I spoke that, and we looked at her hand, and the Holy Ghost came down that room.
Hallelujah.
Whoa! Hallelujah! That's awesome! And Jerry Garner didn't do nothing. She didn't either. We just sat there. She said, what are you saying? I said, I don't know. But listen to God. If it's God, man, you can't stand. When the glory of God came down on that temple they built that time, they couldn't even worship Him. They fell down and laid as dead men. And when the glory of God comes on you, you'll know it. Your flesh won't just tingle on you. Man. When the real God shows up, things happen. 3 years of counseling, $5,000, melted, ran out the door. And she was in shock. Never told her husband a word. Had tried to commit suicide. Tried to leave him. And he didn't have any idea what's going on. 3 beautiful children, so messed up by Jezebel's spirit. Years of hating yourself on the inside. Tormenting yourself on the inside. I said, pray for your father. All the word curses you bound him with. When we're children, we understand as children. We get hurt as children. And the enemy uses that against us for years. And it's a lie from Satan. I've never seen so many of us that are still small kids trapped in big bodies. Well, good. I got good news. You ain't going home the way you came. Hallie's free. And she wanted to come up here with me, and she almost did. But her husband needed something. I can't remember now. But she said, I want to come up at the end of the week. And she wants so much. She's so hungry for God. She's been working so hard for God for so many years in, quote, a church. And now that the Holy Spirit started following her, she can't even. She'd run around with a big bucket trying to get it. She's so ready. She's hoping for God. So I'm going to get the little room with a pad and the little cage. Let's keep this one. Let me read to you what Jeremiah said. That's what the Holy Spirit can do in your life if you let Him. Get across Jabbok, y'all. Jeremiah chapter 51. This is where we are. This is the commission to God's army right now. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in there, a destroying wind. I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winnow her and empty her land. For in the day of doom they shall be against her all around. Against her let the archer bend his bow and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans. Chaldean meaning to be covered with flesh. If you're covered in flesh, I don't care how holy, how spiritual you try to be. If you still have flesh, you will fall in the land. In that day, some will fall to be refined. Read it, what Daniel wrote. Those of understanding shall instruct many, during that day, and some of understanding. You have understanding, but you have not yet put down flesh. Many shall fall by flame, by plundering, by destruction, to be refined. Chaldeans, an astrologer, a magician. There are too many astrologers and magicians preaching across the land, especially in charismatic churches. And I'm not even going to mention charismatic witchcraft sermon because I don't want to stir up nothing else. But there is a charismatic witchcraft that's tremendous in the land right now.
Amen.
There is a perversion of the Spirit of God that's just unholy, ungodly. And if you're not keenly aware of God's Spirit, if you're not walking in His God, in His nature, if His image is not in you, I guarantee you will fall prey to that spirit. It will come and visit you to buffet you and to see where you are with God. There's no getting around it now, folks. We've already got down to the bottom. There ain't no denying it. And there's no shame when you realize it. No guilt. God never made one man feel guilty. He makes him feel forgiven and loved. If you feel guilt and shame, it ain't God. It's the accuser of the brethren. And those thrust through in her streets, for Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, but his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, flee from the midst of Babylon. Flee from Babylon doesn't mean run away from one little church and go to another one. It means flee from fornication. Flee from the flesh. Flee from the soothsayers. Flee from the spiritual witches that get together and intercede and pray, they think, in the name of God. Flee unholy things. Flee fleshly spiritual worship in your own life. You can read about her 7, 8, 9, and 10, but let's go down to 11. Because this is the decree to the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, to the sons of God. This is your battle plan. Most folks think we're going to fly out. Well, none of us. But anyway, we know there's a battle coming. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. That's faith. Gather your faith up. You're going to need a big mount of it. How much faith you got? The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. The same enemy that confronted Gideon, who God changed his name to Jerubbaal, meaning overcomer. The king of the Medes who came up against Gideon, a type of us, later on in the same battle, will be fought the same way, in the spirit, with the light of Jesus Christ shining out of us, with a loud trumpet, which is the sound of your voice. You will speak the word, the dead will raise, the captives will go free, and darkness shall flee where you are, if the word's in you. Medes literally means, and boy, do you see it in every single church. You can see it even at Lake Hamilton Cape Grounds right now. God is bringing this about to expose those things that are contentious, those things that are lying, those things that are jealousy, envy, boasting, fleshly. Medes literally means to be brawling, contention, discord, strife, a contest. I'm holier than you. I know more than you. Lord over Lord of you. Don't let anybody lord over you. God hated it and he still hates it. Someone who lords over someone else. Don't let anybody look down their nose at you. Two things are going to happen. You're going to help yourself and you're going to help them. Don't listen to it. Don't receive condemnation from anyone. For his plan is against Babylon. Babylon meaning confusion. God is against all confusion. God is against mix in his church. Means to confound, to mix in self. God is against self-worship. He's been against it since Satan tried it, and he's against it now, and he's not going to let us get by with it either. It is self-worship, self-righteousness. I even had a lady tell me, I can get mad. I can get my righteous indignation up. Jesus got mad in the temple. I said, well, when you become God, you have the right to get mad and get your righteous indignation up. Until you do, shut up. He got a thing and ran. I know he did. When you're sinless, you get you a whip and you run through every church in the land and you run them out. Unless you're not sinless now. Okay. Boy, we're talking to the right bunch. God's going to change our direction. He may give us a bigger motor to go with, too. Okay, we're going to get a rudder change this morning. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord, and it's God's vengeance, it's not mine, it's not yours, it's not the sons of God's vengeance. It's God's vengeance, and He will repay.
Yes.
And you keep your mouth shut and stay out of the way. What does he say in 12? Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. And if you're going to get on the walls of Babylon, guess what? You're going to be on the outside of the city. What's the standard for everything that God does? Put the standard up. Someone confronts you. Well, teach me your doctrine. I'm going to teach you the word. This is the standard. Well, do you believe in dunking, sprinkling, or wishing? I said, I believe in washing. The word says wash it, and I wash it. Well, do you believe in tongues? Yeah, I got one. Do you believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. And Paul said, you don't even need that. You'll be on. There's all kinds of tongues. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw in my own little for y'all. On the day of when Babel fell over and God came down and confused their language, I really believe in my spirit that he took the heavenly language away from them. He took his language and gave them all new languages and scattered them. The day of Pentecost, all he did is bring his language back and give it to them again. Now, you can take that and shelve it, chop it up, dissect it. I don't really care. It's just what Jerry... That's per Jerry Garner. I didn't find that anywhere. I just read that and said, is that right, God? Because, see, I was a Baptist boy trying to understand all you Pentecostals. Why they do them weird things? Why they jump up and down? And about a year later, I started looking, okay, God, I see the same problems over on this end of town in people's lives that I seen on the other end of town. And you expect the people of the world to come into a church to get saved? Are you kidding me? God can't send a lost person to a church house right now to get saved. Make the guard strong. We're going to have to be strong in the Word of God. Set up the watchman. Everyone knows the duty of a watchman. One of the things that God hates is hands that shed innocent blood. And you're ordained as a watchman. And if you know the truth and don't warn the people, their blood is on your hands when they die. And your hands shed innocent blood, theirs is on you. You're not responsible for if they receive it. Right, Brother Jack? We're not responsible for you receiving the word. We're responsible for teaching you the word as best to our understanding. That's all. Prepare the ambush. Remember that word ambush. God is literally laying out the literal battle. You want to know what's going to happen in the next few years? Read it. It's already in there. There's no mystery to be revealed. There's nothing supernatural or scary about what's coming down the road. It's already in the Word of God. If it's ever going to happen, it's already in there. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And if He's the beginning and the end, then everything that's in between has got to be in here. He didn't lie. It's already here. Okay? For the Lord has both devised and done what He spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. We're going over right now. We're going to leave Jeremiah. Praise God. I can't wait to get to meet Jeremiah. Anybody named Jerry has got to be okay. Let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 11. Okay, Blanche, get the tape. This is for you. And don't ask me to explain everything. I'm just going to read a little bit to you and tell you what you need right now. This is literally what's going to happen. Brother Tommy mentioned it the other night, and we all know that there is a literal translation, there is a prophetic message in each word, and there is a spiritual application to yours and my life. He didn't leave one person out when he started in the Garden of Eden. He made provisions through his whole word for every single human being that would ever walk on the face of this earth. So God wants you to know exactly what he was talking about, what he was doing. He never did one thing that he didn't tell his people first what he's going to do. He always warned them in advance. He's warning us in this hour. If we have ears to hear, read the letters to the churches and you'll find out. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 11. Now, you know what's taking place here. There's been a rebellion. And I love this part. I'm going to read verse 2 for you. And I'm going to pronounce all those funny names for you. And you can laugh. I don't care. But Josheba, the daughter of the king of Joram, sister of Isaiah, took Joash, the son, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom. Where are we coming out of the bedroom chamber? He's been hidden in the bedroom chamber. He's fixing to come out. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years. 6,000 years. And he's fixing to come out and be crowned. Because in the 7th year, Jedidiah sent and brought who? The captains of the hundreds. Do you remember who the captains of the hundreds are? I'm not going to go over there, but I'm going to tell you where to find them. They're over in 2 Samuel 5 through 8. I'm sorry, 5, verse 8. David's army. Remember, I told you the other day, when they got to the city of Jerusalem, and he said, the blind and the lame, the Jebusites, will keep you out. But those of you who are able to scale the wall, take the city, I'll make captains of the hundreds. It's all in here. Everything's going to happen. Everything you need to know is here. Okay? The captains of the hundreds and the bodyguards and the escorts, three groups there, and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. Something's fixing to happen. Something big's going on. God's gathering his army. He's gathering the praisers and worshipers. He's tuned them up to his song, not their song. Don't struggle so hard when God's trying to teach you a new song. Oh, God, I want to sing the old favorites. Down along some glad morning. Da, da, da. It's a trap. Don't do that. That's a snare. God wants you to sing a new song. I've almost got to the point where I don't even want to sing a special. People ask me to sing. I don't want to. God doesn't want performers. He wants participators. We don't have special music in our church. Because everything we do is special. And I want them all to know that. And I want that old guy that can't even sing a lick to be singing just as loud and just as proud as the guy that's anointed with a beautiful voice. That's a song unto the Lord. Okay? That's the new song. And God will teach you the new song. And it won't be perverted either. And he brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant. God's fixing to make a new covenant with the sons of God. With them, and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. When he is revealed, we'll be like him. You're fixing to see Jesus Christ. You know how? You can see him in other people. You can see his image begin to shine. Because you're not going to see them anymore. You're going to see Jesus Christ in them begin to shine forth. You're drawn to people now that there's something about you. I can't see it, but there's just, I don't know, there's something about you. I used to think I would tell everybody I was a bug light. Man, I used to attract some of the strangest, weirdest people. You know, I've got to change my color so I don't draw bugs no more. Adjust it or do something, you know. I want to attract I can tell you right now, a person who's really anointed of the Lord, you're going to attract some of the weirdest weirdos because they want a touch of that. They're attracted to that. I don't know. Yeah, I got time. I may even tell you that story in Judges about that Levi that went to get his prostitute wife and bring her back home. And they stop in that town and all the perverts of the city surround them. And perverts in that context literally means people who have perverted the Word of God. They want to know him carnally. Christians, men and women, who want to know God carnally but not spiritually. They don't want a lasting relationship. They don't want to marry into the family. They just want to know him carnally. They surrounded the house. He put her out. She was molested all night and died on the porch the next morning. Took her home and cut her up in 12 pieces and mailed her to each part of the tribe. It's a horrible story. But there is a beautiful truth in it. Beautiful truth. When Christ broke that bread that night, how many guys got a piece of bread? But I break this body. I give my body for the bride that I'm going to bring forth. Read Judges 18, 19, 20. Mark it down. Read that story. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's hidden in there. It's beautiful. I mean beautiful. And don't try to understand it all at once. You won't get it all at once. Some of these sermons I've been studying for 5 years to get understanding. And a whole lot of it was to get Jerry Garner where he's supposed to be. I know the word's in you, but it's so scrambled up. Trying to get through all that flesh a lot of times that it didn't cut out properly. I'm going to leave Judges because, boy, if we get into that, that's something else. Those stories in Judges. Because you see about the left-handed men that come out and there's an army of Benjaminites. And y'all saying the other day, let Judah up first. Be careful if you want Judah to go first. The first 2 days they were defeated. Be careful. Yeah, send Judah first. Send Jerry Garner third day, okay? I want to go on the third day. Third day was the victory. Go study that. God will show you something. There's a hidden meaning in there. There's a hidden truth. Not hidden to your eyes if you have an anointing with spiritual eyes and ears, which you should have by now. You'll have understanding of what God's talking about and His divine plan and purpose for the church. And the civil war that came about when the children of Benjamin rebelled and would not drive out the carnal-minded men and women who want to know God carnally but not marry Him. They rebelled. The heart of church has rebelled. She has sold herself for fleshly pleasure. And you and I can be a member of that church if we don't walk where God wants us to walk, and that's in the spirit of Him and not in the flesh man. Then He commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. 1/3 of you who come on duty on the Sabbath. Anybody ever read that? When I read that, it just leaped. Come on duty on the Sabbath? The 1,000-year reign, the seventh year, the Sabbath is coming up, and somebody's coming on duty. Hallelujah, I want to go. And then I read further down, it says, and those of you who go off duty on the Sabbath, Lord, are you kidding? Who goes on duty and who goes off duty? Wow. The 1/3 of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. Where's God live? 1/3 shall be at the gate of Sir, 1/3 at the gate behind the escorts. He's assigned you a place to be. You better be there. Don't pack your bag and run down the road because somebody says, I have a word from you from God. You're to quit your job, pack your Packard, and leave. You know God's going to confirm that word. I don't mean to make fun of nothing, but I mean to stand here and testify of Jesus Christ who sent me that there has been too much phony baloney in the spirit and too much flesh mingled with what's reality of God. And we're all guilty. The two contingencies of you who go off duty on the Sabbath shall keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapon in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes back in. The Lord showed me this morning something so beautiful. Something, you know, sometimes God does something for you, and it's so little, but oh God, that's so neat. I have heard all of my life, and I've read it. The carnal world even writes it on little rulers and sticks it everywhere. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. You want to die to the flesh? Live by the sword. And you'll die by the sword. The flesh man will. The flesh man knows that. That's why he don't want you reading. That's why he blurs your vision at night when you lay down. That's why he tells you, you're too tired, you deserve to rest, you worked hard, you washed them dishes, you mopped that floor, you worked hard, you fed your kids, you're a good guy, going to bed. Pull a fast one on the flesh man, wake him up early. Say, get up, we're going to go read. Well, we're supposed to be here, go read first. Get by yourself. Talk to your Heavenly Father. The harlot church was birthed in the Garden of Eden. Everything that was given life started there. She started out as a snake, and she ends up as a roaring dragon by the time she gets to Revelation. But it comes in the disguise of self-worship. Satan tempted Eve with self. Selfishness. Self-motivated. Self-powerful. positive self-image. I love it. All those Christian counselors run around. Well, all you need is a positive self-image. We can show you how to get it. Sure can. Give me 50. You better stay away from these guys that charge for deliverance and guys that charge for counseling. I spent 4.5 hours the night before I drove up here, man, I was tired already. And I was so tired I wanted to bite nails and so mad at that guy. He'll never get his taste, like I said. I don't even know his name. Don't remember it. He came to my office with his wife for counseling. And he's a counselor for the 700 Club. And from one of the largest Baptist churches in the world, he came to me for counseling, a little bitty, nobody, no-name preacher. They had to call me 3 times to find out where I was. Well, where's your steeple? What do you believe? I don't know what I believe. I didn't say it again. All right, I'll say it. I don't know what I believe. I know who I believe. And I know that he's able to do that, which he's already said he's going to do. Covered that, didn't we? Okay. This guy comes in, and for 4.5 hours, he grills me like an overdone hamburger. What do you believe? Do you speak in tongues? Are you one of these holy rollers? I just sat there very quiet, like Mary's little wise man. I tried to be wise. Just keep your mouth shut, Garner, and you won't step in nothing. Just be quiet. And I listened to him rant and rave, and his wife accused him, and he accused her, and they slurred each other back and forth 4.5 hours. And I just looked at my desk and prayed, and I said, oh, God, I'll never do this again. And he said, I told you about counseling only people within your fellowship. I said, I know. But they was crying on the phone, God. I said, I know. And I told him, I reminded him, I said, I promised God, and I just broke my promise. I used to just counsel folks who are willing to submit to fellowship. If they're not willing to submit to fellowship, God says, tread easy, be careful. And I have learned my lesson. 4.5 hours of wearing me out before I was drive up here, and they raked me over the coals. And the last thing I had to say to him is, I said, look, fella, don't try to have a right relationship with your wife if you ain't got a right relationship with God. And I told her the same thing. And they laid some money on my desk, and I said, no, thank you. It ain't for sale. He said, well, I get paid. I said, I don't want your money. I said, God gave me a new car. It's a 78 Dodge. I don't care. It's new to me. The year before, God had given me a 77 Dodge. I'm moving up. And I traded to one of the guys in our fellowship for a 79 Mercury Monarch. And my wife's driving that. And I'm not bragging. Both will be in poverty. It don't matter to me. But see, God had stripped Jerry Garner clean. He had too much of the world on him. He had too much fear about providing for his family and being shamed, and said, they live in a rented house. They drive old cars. I had people in our group, fellowship that first started, they started buying me clothes because they wanted to see their preacher look good. I don't mind that. Praise God. They bought me this coat. But nobody ever found a tie that matches all this stuff. This coat's got about 10 little striped colors in. They're all different, so I don't know. Maybe that's because God knows I don't like it. I was offered that big fancy Methodist church. I'll never forget it. I went over there to preach over. You know, at a Methodist church. And the bishop said, young man, could I speak this? Sure. So I had lunch with him. Oh, we would like, and I've noticed that people, man, when you got something from God, they want it. And he says, come on over here. We'll put you in here as associate pastor, and then we'll move you. And man, all of a sudden, my wife was there and going, and she said, I know what you're thinking. You want to do that because they wear robes and no ties. She knew me. I was thinking that. They wear robes, no ties, no coats. Hallelujah. I'll go for that.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.